Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas. We got the kitchen all set on a Saturday. The food fight is back. Another epic bout is about to go down. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. You know the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I pick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Q-Auto, Matto, used to call me Fatso. Now you call me Castro, my rap flows. Militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone, you shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic. Try to make dough like Jurassic. Parked in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me, the underboss of this holocaust. Truly yours, right,
The caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And we got the Super Bowl that's about to take place. Hopefully it can go 12 rounds or at least give us something to watch. But this is two knockout fighters that are going at it. Who you got is the slogan for the show tonight. Also, there was an epic fight that went down last night with Ron Farrell versus Cleverly. But we'll get into that shortly. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona, Nacho, a.k.a. Mr. Silver, welcome to the food fight. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Oh, I'm feeling okay, feeling all right. The fight last night was pretty interesting. We're going to get right into that one. How you want to handle this?
All right, we'll start there with an interesting one that went 12. Fonfara ended up taking care of business. Cleverly was bloody, but he definitely put on a show last night. Your thoughts in the matchup anyway?
You know, I didn't really catch the fight yesterday live, so I rewatched it this morning, every minute of it, and I didn't really, I think because I was so pre-hyped of it, this is what I feel happened. I feel no one was exactly hyped for this fight to be what it was. Then when it came out, it lived up to the non-hype, and because I got to, you know, not see it and was told how great of a fight it was, I thought Fonfara did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went in there and dominated. He broke the guy's nose, and he landed punches. Only thing that I think Cleverly showed us was the heart he has. He has no power because he was connecting on a few punches, and for all intents and purposes, they were like patty cakes to Fonfara, who, you know, we all know he got laid out, or not laid out. He was in a fight with Stevenson and got punched around and beat up for a few rounds. Even though he knocked Stevenson down, he's been hit very hard, Fonfara. So I think he was ready for anything that Cleverly could have thrown at him. The one thing that was the most impressive thing was Cleverly's heart and the way he was able to stick through it, fight through the pain and fight through the broken nose and the blood and getting punched in his face continually for 12 rounds. You know, I just didn't see it to be a great as fight as everyone claimed, made it out to be. Watching the whole fight from beginning till end, I was thoroughly impressed with Clever Lee's, like I said, his heart. But I didn't look like there was too much head movement from him. He wasn't really getting around the ring a lot. He was kind of taking the shots. And from far off, for all intents and purposes, after he took the first few of them and felt there was no power, he was not, you know, scared or you know, unwilling to trade with him, because he knew there wasn't going to be much in the way of a knockout or sneaky power, because he felt what Clever Lee was throwing at him. So I give Clever Lee the credit for sticking in there for the 12 rounds and not going down and not getting knocked out. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, Farnfara outboxed him for 12 rounds.
Well, Farnfara, the one thing about Farnfara, he's fought in the heavier weight classes and has, you know, and it's just kind of setting that. I say he has a set of heavy hands, especially when he's fighting in those lower weight classes where he can actually dominate guys like he did up against the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. as well. So you got to watch him. He's deceptively strong, and he did his work up against Clever Lee. Like you said, his nose was broken, gushing blood all around the ring. I respect Farnfara from where he's come till now. He's starting to make big noise in the boxing ranks, and hopefully he can continue with what he has going on right now. Nacho, sit tight. We do have a caller calling in. We have Mr. Nelson in the building. Welcome to the Food Fight. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, Tyrone. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you feeling this evening?
Good. We're going doing well. We're heading to a wedding in St. Paul, so I just figured that. So, I want to talk about football. You talk about boxing, or
we got boxing going on today. You got to give
okay,
me
well, okay, 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 okay. Well, it's fine. That's no big deal. Let me quick on boxing. Not being boxing, but on boxing, like wrestling and any kind of sports where you have the individual that kind of behaves like just like Tiddlywinks tennis with the Williams sisters. I mean, I just boxing and any of these, even football, any of these sports these days, you really wonder if it's the drugs doing the work or if it's the individual between the ears. And there's no substitute for hard work. If it's studying for your job, whatever you do or I do, or if you're hard work, if you're getting in the weight room. I get boxing. I guess I grew up with Muhammad Ali and Spinks and all those guys where, granted, if I did coke, but at the end of the day, they worked in the gym. And they were real punchers. They didn't run from a fight like, what's his name, the Pacquiao fight. What's his name? What the hell is this guy's name? Ran away from the fight, which everyone kind of predicted. But boxing to me is, it used to be, I'm saying fun, but, you know, I grew up with Tyson, who you were scared of these guys, and that was the fear that he had. So with boxing, to me, I just you don't know if you're watching steroid guys or real guys that work out, you know, in the gym and work on their skill. So I don't know about boxing. To me, boxing and horse racing can be the most two corrupt sports, I think, out there. You don't know anymore. You don't want to bet, because I'm not a big gambler. I enjoy it once in a while, put a little action out. But to me, if I'm going to bet on boxing or horse racing, I want to lose my money, because it's just at the end of the day, somebody lost because they're better instead of throwing it for me. So that's why boxing to me, with King and those guys in the old days, ruin it for the casual guys. And it's like the day I found an NFL is fixed or anybody out there, that's when you get sick and tired of trying to speculate or pick a team to win. But in boxing, you know, when I talk about boxing, I want to see guys out there actually work in the gym and, you know, get it done. Just like, you know, people that go out for like gymnastics or whatever the hell they go out for, you know, the individual stuff. So boxing to me, I'm 53 years old, isn't what it was when I was 25. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, depending on the boxing world back then comparable to now, a lot of people are actually coming out speaking more, including Oscar De La Hoya saying Floyd being removed from boxing is better for the sport of boxing. But I was brought up in the era of, you know, Hagler, Hearns, Sugar Ray, Mike Tyson, Young, you know, Frank Bruno. I mean, I'm throwing out guys from the 80s that I remember watching. But, you know, nowadays, it's like a lot of boxers that are in the sport now have to make a name for themselves. And the ones that did get caught out there are guys like Manny Pacquiao. You know, like I can't really think of guys that really got caught out there, you know, using some performance-enhancing drug outside of Pacquiao in the sport. But
right.
Other than that, I mean, boxing in its own right, it is holding its own weight. And with the guys that are here now, there's a lot of young guys like Lomachenko. You also got Triple G. Well, he's not young. I mean, he's in his 30s, and that's a guy who will be jumping into shortly. But it's about time that people in this sport starting to make a name for themselves. I mean, they can't hang on to the guys from yesteryear. They got to be the new Haglers, the new Hearns, and that's what happened while Floyd was doing this thing. And just to add on to what you said about Floyd Mayweather, about him running from the sport, I don't know how long people want to see guys get older in the sport and get tattooed. I mean, we are the gladiatoristic type of fan. We want to see a Super Bowl, but he's near 40. Like it wasn't smart for a guy like Bernard Hopkins to get into that fight with Kovalev because everybody seen him getting tattooed because he was older. But boxing, like I said, boxing in its own right, it depends on what type of fan you are. If you like to see, you know, slugfest like, you know, Gotti Ward, or you want to see technicians or guys that have been in the sport for a couple of years and know what they need to do in the ring outside of just trying to land a home run, that's the respect for the sport. But other than, like, horse racing, to me, and I may be brutal, Sports City, and I'm one of the biggest, if not the biggest chef here in Sports City, I really don't consider horse racing a sport. I think that's more or less for entertainment. Now, a horse is a different animal that's running over 30, 40 miles an hour, or NASCAR. I'm wrong, but I may be wrong in saying this, but they're driving a machine. Like, that's a sport.
Well, here's the problem with horse racing, and you're betting on the owner, the horse, and the owner, and the jockey. So you're betting on three different things, and the owner can tell the jockey, hold it back. And that, you know, that's been well documented. One like tennis or golf or NASCAR, you're betting on an individual. So it's a sport, but it doesn't. I'm just talking when it comes down to money wise. A lot of money changes hands of horses. I enjoy to watch horse races. It's fun to try to speculate on and predict it, but it just gets to the point of you don't know anymore. And I enjoy sports. That's why I have a sport like you do. I mean, I like to be able to speculate and who's win, who's going to lose. I don't talk fantasy sports because I don't live with my mom. But, I mean, I get horse racing. It's a beautiful sport with the horses. And it's not an easy thing. I'm not 5'3" and 110 pounds. So I can't ride on a horse unless it's bucking me off, you know, like I've been done before. But boxing is what it used to be. Real quick, I'm going to let you get back to your show. You're going to cut me loose here. I have just two questions for you in football, if you don't mind. Do you mind?
Okay, I'll let you slide two football questions in.
Just two questions. If Carolina could go to Seattle and win, and if Cincinnati can go to Buffalo and get it done, unlike Atlanta didn't get New Orleans, could you, in your mind, consider Cincinnati and Carolina for real? If they can win on the road tomorrow, would you think they're for real if they can do that?
I have to see how everything pans out for, you know, pregame and seeing what's going to happen with Marshawn. But you're going to have to come to the brunch to get a lot of these answers. Nacho, I don't know if you have anything for him or we could proceed.
That is an interesting question. And, yeah, I would have to have him come tomorrow to the brunch because, you know, that is a tough question. I'd have to see as well who you know, injury reports and things of that nature, how the game would have played out, to be honest. But, you know, it is a good question.
I'm just curious. I did a podcast this afternoon, and we asked that question on the podcast. And you got a good team's winning the road. Okay, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I Atlanta, I have to win. I get the Saints. I like their head coach. I like it, but Atlanta's good. You have to prove to me for real. I still will tell you in this podcast, I'm predicting, and watch it screw on me, but I predict that Green Bay and New England could be in Super Bowl 50, both undefeated meeting. That would be fun. If they, you know, obviously, it's all speculation, but I predict that could be Super Bowl 50, the way they're both playing. Very good football, two of the best football quarterbacks at the moment in football right now, injury-free, could be in San Francisco up in the facility. I think those two teams could be in Super Bowl 50, both undefeated. That'd be epic for the 50th and break Miami Dolphins' undefeated record. That's just my thought process. We'll see. That could probably jinx it all. But, gentlemen, TP, we're going to a wedding. You guys be good, and you guys have a good, epic show tomorrow. And we're live somewhere in Minneapolis. TP, thanks for taking my call on your show.
No doubt. And definitely, if you leave it to the Cowboys quarterback, Tony Romo, told Tom Brady after the game Sunday, I'll see you in February. A lot of people have been pegging the Cowboys to get there, and a lot of people said that maybe Romo could end up with a Super Bowl ticket. But we'll see how that does end up panning out. But thank you for calling in, Mr. Nelson. We got to get him in on a Sunday, man. He came into the box show. Even though he knows his box, he's been around sports for a while, man. We definitely got to do what we need to do. But continuing on where we were, whether we want to talk about more of the Fonfara Cleverly situation or moving into what we have on scale for tonight as well.
So the Fonfara situation, like I said, it just was a good fight. And the hype around it, I think, was because there was no pre-hype to the fight. No one was expecting anything to come of this fight, and the fact that the Cleverly kid who was knocked out by a Kovalev, if I'm not mistaken, he is, for him to come back and to take the punishment he took, I think that was more the reason people gave it a high grade on entertainment-wise. But, you know, it is what it is, and Fonfara will move on. And like you said, he's from the higher weight classes. Let's see if he stays down here, tries to win a championship with these, not so much harder punchers as we saw when he went up against Stevenson. Like we saw, he did knock him down, but Stevenson was just too much for him. So we're going to have to see what Fonfara does from here on out. But like I said, maybe because I was, given the hype train before I saw the entirety of the fight, it wasn't as impressive as maybe everyone else thought it was.
Okay, well, like I said, a lot of people are saying they got to see Fonfara put more on that resume until mm-hmm. they can get impressed because of what he's gone through up until this point in his boxing career. So we'll see. A lot of people are those, what have you done for me lately type of people. And it's respective, from the guy that he did fight and going up against a guy like Stevenson, but yet taking care of business up against Chavez Jr. and winning that one convincingly. I think they want to see more than just, a quality name as a senior compared to junior, being Chavez Jr. and all of the issues he was dealing with outside of the ring. Now to the next topic you would like to get to here at the food fight.
There's a PBC event right now going on. It just started here at 1:00. We got Lamont Peterson going up in a fight. In a welterweight belt against an undefeated fighter in and of himself. He just doesn't have the resume. So it hasn't happened yet. This is interesting because we all know what we saw, the Peterson, Swift fight, Garcia fight. But Lamont trying to make his name, trying to continue with the moving on. So it's a fight that I'm really, I'm really interested to see what Peterson has in store, if he can handle this guy, take care of business, whatnot. If you heard about this, were you aware of this fight? Were you going to watch this fight? What are your thoughts on it?
Not too much. I mean, more or less way toward this battle right here. I mean, I'm up in the air about it. I mean, give me more of the process that you're thinking of which way this fight could end up going.
I honestly think this is a Lamont Peterson fight for Lamont to win. I'm sorry, there was just a knockout in the fight that just happened right now between the two undefeated on PBC. But the thing is, I think this is Lamont Peterson's fight. And I know, like I said, the guy that he's going up against undefeated, he's just not proven. And I really do think this is Lamont. He's going to try to maybe if he makes a move up to 147 or anything like that. The thing is, I think this is him trying to get back to Garcia. I think once he handles this undefeated fighter, and moves on, this could be, a stepping stone because, like I said, we all saw the fight between him and Garcia. I'm not alone, but I'm under the impression that he was robbed. I think he won that fight, but, it is what it is. The judges will be judges. We just got to live with it. But the fact of the matter is I think he's on a rectifying path, and it ends with Garcia. And I think right now the only thing he can do is fight these undefeateds and get them out of their way. And like I said, PBC, And with it being free and taking these fights like that, showing that he can do it. So I'm just really, like I said, just really interested in the fight. I didn't know if you had, heard about it or wanted to get into it or not. But, yeah, I'm really more at stake with the fight, the big fight tonight. But just in the welterweight division, Lamont Peterson, if he could move up and do the things that, you know, I think he can be an interesting name to throw in there, as it pertains to big fights and pay-per-views and things of that nature later down the road. So I just think this is him trying to get back. And if he gives this kid a loss, it's just another notch on his belt on continuing to move forward.
Well, see, here's the thing. That's why I was, like, up in the air about the Peterson situation. Knowing that he came out in that Garcia fight and looked impressive, ended up losing that, but, you got to go out there and beat the champ in a certain situation. I guess he didn't appease the judges, but everybody at home, it really looks like, Garcia was on his heels not trying to bring the fight to him. However, Peterson got knocked down a couple times in his fight before the Garcia fight, so I want to see him actually go out there and do work. That's why I'm kind of, like, undecided about what Lamont brings to the ring. But if he can show that he's progressed since his last fight, especially up against Garcia, goes in there and puts way more than just pressure, but could actually – have a guy up against the ropes or look like that he's dominating the fight, then I'll be kind of sold on the Peterson situation. But he's awkward. He's a lefty type of guy, or, heavy with his left hand at that. So we'll see how Peterson does start this fight out. But the one I did want to talk about was the Martinez situation, how he took care of business up against Devin Alexander. And the question that I have for you in this matchup is Devin Alexander's career in question. Do you think it's like a situation where it can be over? Because he's actually been questionable in his last couple of fights, losing some here, not looking that impressive in his last couple of outings. Your thoughts on this situation where Aaron Martinez took care of business?
Aaron Martinez taking care of business. We saw what he did against the Guerrero and things of that nature. So I was thoroughly impressed with Martinez, but I don't think Devin Alexander's career is over. A couple of fights here and there. We get all enthralled and we get excited with that zero, with the undefeated picks and things of that nature. When you have a great fighter and he's fighting up against, other great fighters, they're going to take losses. So this is one of those things that I think he needs to actually be humbled with this. He was getting on that little bit of a egotistical type of way outside the ring, and it might have been affecting his training and how he approached fights. If you approach fights thinking that you don't have anything to fear in this sport in particular, things can sneak up on you and losses can sneak up on you, and you cannot look as good as we all know you can be. Devin Alexander is a fighter that I think is someone that can come back from this and come back to form. But you are right. These last couple of fights have not looked good enough to key. If he continues on this and we see another one, if possibly two more fights where he just doesn't look himself, and he takes losses, then, yeah, this kid is done for. It'd be too many losses, and he would look too bad on tape over the last, four or five fights for anyone to try to, fight him to make a name off of him. He would have to be scrounging for the bit for someone to give him a shot at that point. If he continues to look the way he's looking, obviously, there's no road for it. But I think, obviously, Devin Alexander has the skill set, the talent to overcome this. I think the mental preparation just needs to get better, and how he comes into fights, mentally, maybe that needs to be looked at. Maybe he needs to have a little more fear that he could lose, and sometimes that gives you that extra edge to win.
Well, here's the interesting thing I look at right now. Does he fall into the same classification as Adrian Broner? Guys that are losing these last couple of fights, and a lot of people haven't been impressed with what he's been able to do in the ring, and getting shocked by a guy like Martinez, where I hate to say it like this, Martinez was a 50-1 underdog. Like, they had him losing badly in his fight, and he took care of business up against Alexander. A lot of people were talking about how Floyd was going to pull out this guy, pull out that guy. Devin Alexander was throwing his name in the hat up against Floyd Mayweather. Like, people would have been upset just as much as they were when he ended up fighting Ortiz or fighting a guy like Andre Berto. Like, if he would have fought Alexander, looking at how he's been looking his last couple of outings, people would be in the same situation and looking at the way that Alexander's been coming out of these fights. So, like I said, he puts himself in the same situation as Adrian Broner if he can be successful in his next couple of outings, or who is going to pay attention to the situation, let alone think thank goodness for a lot of boxing fans out there that it was a situation where it wasn't on pay-per-view. Like, you could view this fight. So he's going to definitely have to do some work and fight some considerable names that are probably out of the top five to start to make a name for himself to get back into the ranks of people, you know, consider him amongst the top in his division. Okay, I may have lost Nacho. I don't know where or what happened.
Go ahead. No, the thing is, sometimes I think you're right, and sometimes people, whether it's Floyd, whether it's, you know, a Sugar Ray at his time, whether it's Roy Jones at his time, a Mike Tyson at his time, when some of these fighters, all they can dream about is fighting that one guy and doing that one thing. And it's taken out from under them, and they get that loss, and now everything is all but gone. That may have, you know, hit them harder than we can actually think. Maybe this goes deeper than, you know, training and jump roping and hitting the bag and the speed bag and things of that nature. Putting yourself in that discussion of, you know, one of the best and trying to get that fight, and then you take that first loss because you're not, you know, up to par. That can be devastating. So you're 100% correct at that. You put yourself in that circle. You're expected to perform at that level. And when you're not, you know, the backlash from that, from the media, your own camp and things of that nature, that could take a toll on them. So, you know, hey, when you do that, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And sometimes these cats can't live up to that pressure.
Okay, Well, since we got the Super Bowl in front of us, we got 30 minutes left, so I definitely wanted to get in there before we start to lead away from it. Okay, so our boy is back in there, at least a guy I respect in the boxing ring, with Triple G. Been doing more research on Lemieux, knowing that he is a knockout type of guy, but his last couple of fights he's been taking care of business in this ring. So I really think that I don't know if these guys will end up going the distance. And knowing how Triple G is looking to get to that chin and make people – kind of get wobbly-kneed, if you will, while they're in there. Very interesting style of fight that I definitely like and respect the way that the boxing world sets this fight up. But this is definitely one of those stepping stones, if you will, for Triple G to win this fight and get ready for the upcoming fight, which is up against either Cotto or Canelo. But this is the important part about this. He cannot look past David Lemieux in this fight. Your thoughts on this matchup with Lemieux and Gennady? Bobby, go at this one.
You know, this is what we wanted. You know, we wanted a test for Triple G. This is what Triple G, quote unquote, apologist fans, and this is what Triple G doubters wanted. They wanted Triple G to fight a champion. They wanted Triple G to fight someone that can bring him a test, and for all intents and purposes, someone to step in the ring that people are actually questioning if Triple G can actually get this victory, not only for overlooking him, but David Lemieux's punching power and the way he brings a big fight just as much as Triple G does. So, you know, with the losses that Lemieux has suffered and the way he's come back on his fight win streak and the way he's handled that, you know, he's gotten better as a fighter, and this is the fight that we all want to see. As it pertains to Triple G, he needs to make this fight. He needed to make this fight happen, so that way, going into whoever it is, Cotto or Canelo, there is no doubters. He's fight a champion. He's after this fight, he will be the lineal champion for this. You know, the other lineal, as it pertains to the IBF and the WBF, he'll have a multitude of championships in this division, making Cotto pretty much have to fight him. Or Canelo have to fight him, however it works out in that retrospect. But this is the fight. Two heavy-handed hitters, two guys that are going to go in and throw haymakers. This is not, you know, look to be, quote-unquote, sweet science boxing match where we're going to watch these guys pick their shots and try and, you know, defend and back away and you know, avoid and counterpunch. These guys are going to try to throw haymakers and the big punch at any moment. I think what gives Triple G the edge is his head movement and the ability that if it does come down to a trade with me type of situation towards those last 10 seconds, Triple G's chin. We've all seen it. He's got the capabilities and the ability to take one and give one. And when he gives you one on the chin, he's most likely going to knock you out. So he's more than willing to take one on the chin to make sure he's got a square enough shot directly in your face to knock you out. And we've seen him do it multitude of times. And it's coming down to whether or not Triple G has got the talent level to not only just knock people out, but avoid those marquee punches and then land his. And I think he does. And we've seen him go up in there against, you know, the mediocre talent he's faced up until now, and he's knocked them all out. It may have taken longer for others, but, you know, it's all ended up in the same, you know, result, a knockout victory for Golovkin. So who you got? It's Triple G. I think Triple G goes in there and he handles business. This is a fight that Triple G, like you said, he's not going to take lightly. He can't take lightly. He's looking forward to this fight as much as he's looking forward to Canelo Cotto, because that's Triple G as a fighter. He does not take any fight lightly. He does not take any fight as if, you know, I'm the victor, I'm the man, no one's been able to touch me, and I'm undefeated. He goes in there, like I said, with a healthy fear of every competition that he's going up against. And you know, at the end of the fight, in the post-interview, the fact that he doesn't speak English very well when he tries to talk, it rubs people off the wrong way because it sounds arrogant, but he's really just a humble guy that is really trying to you know, do the best he can to knock out his opponent, and he's doing that. So, you know, the guy really comes in and does what he's supposed to do night in and night out, and tonight's going to be no different. Lemieux is the toughest challenge. We may see Triple G tested. He may get, you know, solidly rocked. And wobbled, but Triple G, like I said, he's got the chin, he's got the power to come back from any adversity, I think, in that ring, and this is going to be the toughest test for him, because there's no other way around it. So Lemieux is a great test to get ready for a Cotto, especially a Canelo, another heavy-handed guy. So this is, man, you know, I hope Canelo can handle business in December, because Triple G Canelo would be ecstatic. So, but you know, Triple G tonight all the way. The way I see this going, this is a 6-7, a 6 or 7 round TKO. I think he handles this within, you know, half the time he's supposed to. These are two guys that are going to want to knock each other's heads off. Triple G is the more, you know, cerebral, so to speak, and he's going to get the job done.
Now, see, I didn't even push for who you got. He's already giving us Triple G already. One, I don't want Triple G to get caught in a situation where he's, you know, looking past this fight, because Lemieux is a home run hitter too, and this is the one thing that you do need to worry about with Triple G. You were worried about the previous fight that we talked about before. Triple G does not move that head. He does not move that head. So he can get caught with a punch that could put him to sleep. Hopefully he's not put in that situation, but this is that fight that can be put in front of him, because he is in front of a knockout artist. So knowing that he's in front of this situation, knowing he's fighting somebody with power, because a lot of the guys that he fought do not have that considerable power that put pressure on Triple G. So this is a fight that people need to be ready for. Triple G also, hopefully he's improved that, because if he doesn't sit there and take shots to try and land his shot, he could get caught with a shot that could end up having him worried and on the defense, and you don't want to see him up against the ropes and watch everything drift away. But then again, Lemieux can't get caught either, because that's a situation that, with, you know, Gennady is setting up to try and land one of his big shots as well. So this is an interesting situation for this matchup tonight.
You're right, and to be 100% honest about the head movement of Triple G, he didn't have it the last couple fights, but to be honest, did he need it? I mean, he got punched in the face squarely, and it didn't really look like those guys were really going to do anything. I think if we go back a few more fights and you go back to maybe a couple years ago, maybe last year, we saw the head movement. It is there. He can do that. But like I said before, when it comes to Triple G, the quality of talent that he's facing is so low, and he knows it. He steps in the ring, and in that first round, you can see it. You can see his talent level. And most often than not, how much better he is. And then I don't want to say he takes it easy, but he knows what he can and can't do in that ring, and he takes advantage of that. And he does want to give a good fight to these fans. And he knows that, I mean, it doesn't sound like the smart thing to do, but he knows if he can take a punch, he's going to take it so he can have a clear shot at that next one, and it's paid off. So I get what you're saying. It didn't look like it the last few fights, but I think it's there. Tonight, he's going to need it, and I think it's going to be on display how much of a boxer he actually is, not so much that brawler. Well, he is the brawler, but how much of a boxer he can be coupled with that brawlerness that he is. And it'll be scary for a lot of these middleweights to see what he's capable of doing tonight. I honestly think so.
Okay, well, let us do the looking past this fight, right? Let us do this looking past the fight. But I want to set this up for David Lemieux. What if David Lemieux sets up the unthinkable in this matchup? Where does he go in retrospect in this fight? I mean, does he look at that fight for Cotto or Canelo? Or, you know, he's definitely going to make a big name for himself if he could take care of business up against Triple G.
No disrespect to David Lemieux or anything like that, but Canelo or Cotto is not going to take that. This sets up to be a rematch fight if he beats Triple G, especially in order for him to do that, he's going to have to drag it out past the eighth round. It's going to be a knockout, drag-out fight, and it may be just that last punch that does it, where maybe if Triple G would have got that last punch, it might have been over for Lemieux. So that's the only way I anticipate Lemieux winning, which is a knockout, drag-out fight that goes round for round, fight for fight, and you know, sorry, the only way that he wins the fight is that if it's a knockout, drag-out fight, it's excellent. Blow for blow, knockdown for knockdown, and Triple G just can't get up there at the end. And I think Triple G, the fighter he is, he'll want the rematch. Whether that you know, Pete, the fans want it or whatever, I think that'll be what'll happen. Solidifying it with Lemieux, you know, ultimately having to beat him twice, and doing it in a fashion that Triple G was doing would be the only thing. And then after that, the sky's the limit for Lemieux. After the losses he faced to go on a nine-fight win streak, go back-to-back against, you know, what we call the hardest puncher in middleweight right now, one of the hardest-hitting guys in the whole, you know, boxing world as it pertains to pound for pound. And he takes him on twice and beats him. The sky's the limit, and anyone he wants is who he'll get in Lemieux. So I think that's what happens going forward if Lemieux does win this fight. It's a rematch. I don't see Canelo or Cotto taking that fight. They want to make the big money fight. They want to go big mainstream. Triple G winning and fighting Triple G next year is a big money fight. Lemieux winning, I'm sorry, he's just not that money draw, even if he beats Triple G tonight. People are not going to, you know, instantly just know who Lemieux is. It's going to take another Triple G fight. And then, you know, anyone else after that, they will know, well, this guy means business. But I think Triple G losing to Lemieux, you know, it doesn't catapult Lemieux into the ranks of charging people high dollars just to fight him.
Now, see, I kind of led you to the water on that one because I wanted to set that situation up. Just because I knew that's what the way that you would respond. What if Lemieux sets up this situation, kind of like Floyd did, Pacquiao, doesn't want to rematch him, doesn't want to fight him, and looks toward, I guess, the greener pasture situation up against a lot of other fighters in boxing. And if Cotto or Canelo don't want to end up taking the fight, he starts pushing the envelope like everybody else has, kind of telling them, you know, I don't want to fight any other of these punks. I want to fight you guys. So he can end up setting the situation up if he was to sit up here and play hardball.
Yeah, you're right. And to that point, you know, people want to see Triple G, Canelo, and Cotto. Nobody wants to see Lemieux. And that's just plain downright simple as it is. And even with a Lemieux win, people would still pay top dollar to see Triple G, Canelo next year. No doubt in my mind, Canelo gets beat by Cotto, Lemieux gets beat by Triple G, or, you know, vice versa, where Triple G loses and Canelo loses. Next year we can still see Triple G and Canelo, and it'll still sell, and that'll still sell tickets, and it'll still be a high market fight. Those two guys, regardless of their win-loss records, they draw a big crowd. They draw that big number. So Lemieux could sit there and say, I'm not getting that rematch or whatever, that's fine and dandy. I just don't think anyone else is willing to go, you know, downgrade, so to speak, to fight Lemieux, even though he would be the lineal champion. To be honest, I think everyone would move up and let Lemieux kind of do what he wanted to do and fight whoever was left at 160. Canelo can do it. Triple G can do it. We all know if Cotto continues to fight, he will give up that and he will go back down to 154 because he's really not a 160 fighter. So, you know, there is no fight there with Cotto, to be honest. He's not going to step in that ring with a bigger guy like that and try to put that fight on anyway. So, barring, you know, catastrophic events, a Canelo and a Triple G loss over the next 3 months doesn't bode well for boxing, other than the fact that we get to see Canelo and Triple G later. But, you know, them winning and having championships behind it does well for the casual fan. But all of us, you know, we want to see Triple G and Canelo regardless. So I think that fight still ends up happening. You know, if Canelo wins, Triple G and Canelo might go at it anyway, even if, like you say, Lemieux does get the victory and says, you know, I don't want Triple G. Canelo, I'm sure his reign will still put his hand out to take the fight because Canelo wants to fight the best as well, and he wants to fight big names like that and draw money. And we all know, even with the one loss, Triple G Canelo in May is an enormous draw.
Well, I got two more scenarios set up, and then I'll let you cook for a little bit. Now, I wanted to look at the other side of the spectrum. If Lemieux were to lose, where does everything draw out for a guy like Golovkin, especially with everybody saying how his resume is looking extremely questionable, and who he does end up fighting next. If Canelo or Cotto were to end up taking that fight anyway, despite him losing, because their money would still be there because of the name that Golovkin has set up for himself. Your thoughts, if he is, you know, lose, do they still entertain the fight to go up against him, or does it be the end all going up against Golovkin without going up against Golovkin with the one loss? Because let's be honest, Cotto has a couple of losses, and Canelo has a loss now from Floyd also. So you got to think, if he loses, I mean, he's still in the same ballpark. It doesn't even really diminish what he brings to the table regardless of the situation.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, Triple G brings the draw. I mean, like you said, the only thing that Canelo and Triple G winning over the next couple months and makes the fight have some championships in the background. I honestly think Triple G Canelo happens next year regardless of the outcomes of any of these fights. Draws, wins, losses for any for Triple G or Canelo, them two are fighting next year. I'll put it in the dirt. I'll write it. I'll sign my name to it right now. We are seeing Triple G and Canelo in 2016, regardless if there's a championship behind it, regardless if there's wins or losses. Those two want to fight each other. We know they can do it. The question will be, what weight are they going to be at? Are they going to be at 160? Are they going to jump to 168? Are they going to go to 172? It all depends on what Triple G and Canelo feel most comfortable at. We know what they walk around at comfortably, and we know what they fight at. So they're relatively in the same weight class as it pertains to walking around and as it pertains to fighting. So those two right then and there, they're fighting next year. The only thing that can prolong it is if Triple G loses and Canelo wins. If Canelo wins, there will have to be some sort, I know, of writing of who he has to mandatorily fight. But we've seen with Cotto and his mandatories, if you're the champion in this boxing world, you can do whatever the heck you want. So Canelo, Triple G, that's the draw, that's the fight. And I think that happens regardless of who wins tonight and who wins in December. The main thing that the boxing world wants, though, is Canelo and Triple G to win. Because, like I said, championships will be in the background of the pictures that will be taken. And that's always a big draw when you've got gold belts and green belts and all kinds of things behind two fighters when you're charging people $60, $70 to watch it. But regardless of belts or not, it'll be a slobber knocker and a hell of a fight. So that's why I think people are more inclined to get that fight regardless if Triple G loses tonight.
Okay, and Reason being I say this, too, is because, like I said, I know that it'll be an interesting situation if he is to continue. If he loses, I mean, he puts himself with one loss, and it still continues to be a big fight, especially up against Eric Canelo, because they both are heavy hitters as well, and a lot of people are setting up for that. But Cotto being in a situation where he hasn't lost since he got in touch with Freddie Roach also, I mean, if he's to take care of business up against Canelo, there's an extreme mix-up in the boxing world, and just like Nacho loved to say, boxing is not dead, especially if, you know, you start to see these upsets starting to happen around the boxing world or in the ring with a lot of these guys in the sport. So hopefully Cotto can set this situation up to put everybody at the edge of their seat and have Canelo in a situation where he's searching for a big-time fight. And also if Triple G loses, I mean, he still holds a big-time card in this scenario because he is a big name in sports. And, well, in the sport of boxing, he's also calling people out almost every fight that he has. You know, whoever's the hot boxer, he's going to call out at the initial point in time. Okay, the next topic that I did want to talk about, and then I'm going to let you figure something out, I got the Kell Brook situation. He is now injured. He had a rib injury. They said they postponed this fight up against Chavez. Now Kell Brook is starting to show like he has a chink in the armor or what have you. Your thoughts on this one being pushed to the end of the year, 2015. Don't let this be the fight in Vegas in December 12th, I'll just tell you. I know I'll have Nacho there for sure, but your thoughts on Kell Brook's situation, especially with him experiencing injury just as recent as of yesterday?
You know, it's just something that Kell Brook's going to deal with, you know, that fighters deal with, sparring, training, things of that nature. Injuries are going to happen outside of the boxing ring, inside the training gym, you know, things of that nature. So it's unfortunate. I think, you know, the fact of that it's the ribs, the fact that, you know, unfortunately for all sports people, anyone having to do with any kind of athletic, you know, sport or game, your injuries are made public. Then whatever you want to do to hide it, you really can't do. So now the rib's going to be a focal point of Chavez and his training for the next months until that fight goes down, whenever they make it. It's something that he's going to have to look for. Now we have to see Brook drop an elbow, drop an arm down to guard those ribs. See if that, mm-hmm. you know, see if that makes a difference in his fighting style and how he protects himself. Because if he goes into that fight and he's fighting the same way and he takes one of those ribs and he keeps pushing, Kell Brook's going to never lose a fight. If he goes into that fight, he gets punched in those same ribs early in the fight, and he doesn't wince, he doesn't think anything of it more than what you would naturally do getting punched there. He's 100% healthy, and there's nothing that anyone else can do on the other side of the ring to stop him, and he's going to win that fight. But if he gets punched, he winces, we see some pain, he's got to pretty much lose one arm as a defense mechanism for the whole fight, and he's got to fight one-handed, that can make this a very interesting fight. And to the point you make, you know, what can happen in December, especially if they make it, you know, that time frame. But it's going to be interesting to see if they postpone it a little longer to let that rib heal, because we all know there's really nothing you can do to the ribs. You just got to let it heal on its own. You really can't do much. There's no slings or, you know, braces or anything like that you can do, or you know, like a regular bone. It just hurts, and it hurts to breathe, and it hurts to do anything. And in this sport alone, you know, we talk about hooks and jabs and clinches. Your breath is the biggest thing in this sport. If you can't mm-hmm. keep your breath in this sport, you're done for. You're done. There's nothing you can do. If you can't, you know, keep a stamina going in the first few rounds, you're done for. So if that really is a big problem for him, it'll be evident in rounds 2 and 3. But like I said, if it's not, man, we'll look out, because even Kell Brook's on a tear. If he gets off of this injury with nothing and comes out with a pretty convincing victory, I don't know what could stop this kid.
And see, it's interesting because Kell Brook is a boxer, and I know everybody in the sport is a boxer, but what I mean by he's a boxer is similar to what we see with Floyd Mayweather or the Pernell Whitakers or Sugar Ray's. Like, these guys know what to do to get points and appease the judges. But, however, Kell counters off of power. And if his ribs aren't there, I mean, that might neutralize his power in this situation. So this makes it very interesting if this injury does end up lingering. So knowing that we are a week away from where this fight was supposed to go down on the 24th, and depending on how long of a timetable they give it to try and get him back at full strength to end up taking on Chavez is a whole other situation. But this is big, especially for Kell Brook, knowing that he's young in the sport, knowing that he's probably one of the bigger names in the welterweight division. This timing is very bad for this injury, and if he's to remain injured, also is something that people need to look at also. So, Kell Brook, I don't want this to be the chink in the armor that actually ends up spiraling him downward, if you will.
Yeah, me neither. So I don't think it's gonna. We'll just have to wait and see with this. And like I said, there's no. I don't know what ribs, you know, there's no real timetable as you, and I don't know if you've broken or hurt in a rib or your rib cage. I've been punched in it. I've never broken my rib cage or anything like that, but, or rib bone or anything, but, you know, getting punched there and maybe being bruised, that hurts just enough. So, who knows, like, who knows the timetable of when they make this fight as well. So, if they try to rush him back too quick, you know, we might not see good things. But if the timing's right, hey, it couldn't affect anything. It might not affect anything at all, and he might just cruise to another victory.
Now, if Kell Brook does take their business in the welterweight division up against Chavez, who is the next name for him? I mean, is it a guy like Pacquiao? I mean, who do they throw at him in the welterweight division?
I don't know. At that point, it's hard to tell you, you know, being the big draw that he is in England, whether or not, you know, they can make a big sell for him pushing it against someone else. Because, to be honest, if he goes in there against Pacquiao, I mean, he's the favorite. If he goes in there against the Porter, he's the favorite. If he goes in there against the Thurman, he's the favorite. But those guys are all going to draw the bigger crowd. So, for all intents and purposes, you know, I take this back to be 100% honest, this is going back to a Sergio Martinez and Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto was the more known fighter. But the boxing aspect and 100% healthy, I'll take Sergio Martinez every day of the week. Sergio Martinez was the clear odds favorite to most boxers. Boxing analyst and people I talk to, pre-injury, fully 100% healthy, one-on-one, that's what we thought. So, you know, in Miguel Cotto's case, he was trying so hard to be the A-side, and we saw the interviews with Max Kellerman, and then we saw what that provided for entertainment-wise. But Kell Brook going against any one of those guys I just named, like I said, he'll be the favorite. But he won't be the big name draw as it pertains to the big money and you know, putting it on the poster and whose picture is going to be bigger. Those guys would be bigger. But we would all know Kell Brook to be the favorite, and he'd probably, to the, you know, public side, pull up the upset. But we would all know it would be business as usual. So the names I just mentioned, I think those three names, as it pertains to Thurman, Porter, and Pacquiao, those three names are the names in the hat. He pulls off this victory, he can pick any one of those names out, and he's got a match. I think if those guys are willing to put their name on the line to go against Kell Brook, I mean, Pacquiao, he is what he is. It is what it is, you know, as it pertains to what he might even bring to the ring, you know, because we all know what he's about now. It's just money and making a check. So if Pacquiao wants to bring his name and money into the fight, I'm sure Kell Brook would gladly give him another lesson. The problem with, you know, a Thurman or a Porter is those guys are you know, young and raring just like Brook is. So those two fights would, I think, have a bigger draw for me personally. But I think as it pertains to name and getting a big fight and selling lots of tickets, I think Pacquiao would be the next fight for Kell Brook. Just because Pacquiao also wants to, you know, come back and try to make some money as well. So you take on Kell Brook and you know, for all intents and purposes, you'll get another boxing lesson. But, hey, it is what it is.
And the only other name I could think of outside of Pacquiao is Thurman, knowing that him and Porter are about to go at it because he really just took care of business up against Porter. And I know that's another fight that Sean would love to get back up against Cal Brook, but it was just – I think that reach was too much for him in that fight. And then that power behind that reach actually kind of left Sean that question on what to do in that situation. But Thurman, if Thurman is the – you know, make this fight – a special one up against Porter and take care of business. I really cannot wait, people. I'm at the edge of my seat for December 12th. Oh, the birthday. I'm just telling you, Sports City, man, it's going to be – this is a good year in boxing 2015, regardless of how people may have seen it, and especially in the so-called mega fight with Floyd and Pacquiao. There's still a lot of interesting bouts to come, especially with Fury and Klitschko down the road in November as well. So y'all stay tuned with what we got, at least coming soon in the food fight. Nacho, anything that you have left before we get out of here?
No, I'm just excited this Peterson fight's going to get underway here. And, you know, boxing's ready and raring. The burn months, like you said, are here, and we got some good fights. And not only that, MMA's got some great fights as well. I'm sure we'll dip into some of that, you know, through the food fight for the next few weeks. But I'm excited to be back and talking about boxing and get back into this and doing, you know, the best we can.
Okay, well, definitely we'll catch y'all back here next week, especially while we sit up for the doorstep of the month of November, while a lot of these, at least the fight we just talked about is getting set back with Cal Brook and Chavez. But I need a plug and close out as we shut down the food fight on a Saturday.
You know, at Not on the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, football, sports, love it. Everything's going on. It's just an amazing time. On a personal note, if everyone can send out a prayer, the mother of my child's going in to have her gallbladder removed, got pancreatitis. So, you know, it's a simple procedure, but, you know, simple procedures, anything can happen. So just, you know, send a prayer out her way, and hopefully everything will go according to plan. She should be out of it in the next hour or two, and everything will go right. Other than that, you know, sports this weekend is going to be so huge. I'm excited. Multiple big games, baseball, football, basketball is around the corner, and hockey starting off to a great start. Coyotes doing well. And I know we haven't gotten into it because, you know, we're not big hockey talkers on any of the shows, but hockey's new overtime rules. I know you and Chandler are big Ranger fans. I don't know if you're familiar with the new overtime rules, but it's now a 3-on-3 that instead of a shootout to start. It's amazing. There was one to start the year, and it was just all out pandemonium for about 6 minutes. I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but I'll tell you this. I'll watch every single overtime game the rest of the year if they're half as entertaining as that first one was. So I know hockey's trying to get trying to get some new things going on. And I know out here in Arizona, we love our hockey team. We don't want them to go anywhere, and they're winning right now. So, you know, all the sports, love it. Hockey back, love it. Let's just keep it going. And you know, if there's one thing that came out of this postseason in baseball, even though my Diamondbacks didn't even sniff, you know, the scent of October, it's that the Dodgers failed to do anything again. And that's just lovely in and of itself.
All right, definitely. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef. We'll be back here tomorrow. Sports City getting that brunch back in here. We got a lot of perspectives already on what we had Calpo come in here and do. But like I said, man, prayers to the Silver family, everybody out there in Arizona. You already know how we do, man. Continue to stress the situation. Nacho, we with you. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'm a gonna make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slack.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, hit him while wifey was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body your domino. Rhyme a few bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I kick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Even make a bit, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rap done. Ridiculous, and I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, Matt Hoes, used to call me Fatso. Now you call me Castro, my rap flows. Militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Chris Stout keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes, you in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic, trying to make dough like Jurassic. Park kids, pick the spark kids who start shit.